come wash in the river, come drink your fill. Let healing waters bear away your guilt. Lay down your burdens on that beautiful shore. Come wash in the river, come be reborn.
Welcome to the Radical Truth Podcast. I am your host, Glenn Meldrum. And this podcast is brought to you by In His Presence Ministries. Visit us on the web at www.ihpministry.com. The purpose of the radical truth is simple. We want to search out the radical nature of the truth as revealed in God's Word, the Bible, and to learn about Jesus, our wonderful, loving Savior. So let's stay connected as we together seek to learn about the radical truth. Today is Christmas Eve, so I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. As I have said on the podcast for the last few years when I give a Christmas message, that I love Christmas. Don't get hung up over the fact that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Since we don't know when he was born, December 25th is as good a day as any to celebrate his coming into the world. And I don't think that Jesus has a problem with that date either. So enjoy that day and let your children and grandchildren enjoy it as well. Keep Jesus the center of the celebration by making the day all about his coming to us. And if you do it with a right heart, it's really a lot of fun to get and give presents. It is right for us to celebrate on this day that we have set aside to remember what Jesus did for us by being born of a virgin. We are commanded to remember his crucifixion by taking communion, and every year we celebrate his resurrection. So it's only right to celebrate his birth. And don't let the commercialization of Christmas alter your celebration of it. Instead, do it the right way that is pleasing to Jesus and blesses his heart. The world will never get Christmas right because they don't know Jesus. It's up to us to show our unsaved family members, friends, and community, and even the world, what Christmas is all about. Here is a phenomenal opportunity to tell others what our wonderful Savior did for us. So make the most of this season to point people to Jesus, who became human, so that he could die on the cross as our substitute and make the way that we could be forgiven and saved. Since this is Christmas Eve, I'm only going to do a little devotional. Next week, we will return to our study of the Epistle of James. I had been praying about what to share for this Christmas message when I found myself awake around 4 a.m. thinking about it. A verse was swirling around in my mind, but I couldn't get a firm hold of it or even remember exactly how the verse read. I only had the idea in a very vague sense. So I got up, fired up my computer and the coffee maker, and started to search the scriptures for the verses that I was thinking about. My thoughts were fixed upon a couple of questions, the first being, why did Jesus wait so long to come into the world? And second, why had he waited so long in coming to us individually? These questions were not from a negative or critical way of thinking about this, but an inquiry into the reasons for his timing. After doing some various searches in my favorite Bible program, I finally found what I was looking for, and the verses are in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Another verse that was also swirling around in my sleepy brain was Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Time and chance had nothing to do with the timing of Christ coming into the world. It was all foreordained even before everything that is came into being. God is never late and he is never early. He is always on time. And I say that from the truth of scriptures and not from personal feelings. Many times I have personally felt that God was late in coming to my aid or answering a prayer or drawing near to me. There have even been times where I felt like he was really, really late. I know that theologically this is never the case, but that doesn't mean we don't feel that way at times. We are very time-bound, finite creatures that want everything to happen immediately and have a hard time seeing the big picture because we are neither omnipresent nor omniscient. The problem centers upon the fact that we are dealing with a timeless being who sees things very differently from us. He sees all time at once, and how he works in time is something we will never understand. Yet when the right time came, the Father sent the Son into the world to redeem us from our sin. The Lord will never violate our free will, but that doesn't mean he won't use our free will to accomplish his will in this world. There is an abundance of examples of this found in Scripture. One such instance is seen in the account of the Lord using Pharaoh to set the children of Israel free from their bondage in Egypt. The Lord didn't violate Pharaoh's free will, but used the man according to his wicked nature to further his divine plan in this world that would eventually culminate in Jesus entering into our fallen, sinful world. We will never know how God worked this all out. He wove his will through the tapestry of human history with precision we cannot fathom. Everything that needed to be accomplished in history was done so that at just the right time, the Savior would be born, and at just the right time, he would be crucified. The Lord has never willed people to be evil and to do evil things, and James clearly teaches this in his epistle. Yet through the infinite wisdom of God, he even used the evil nature of people and their evil acts to bring about his self-disclosure to the world. I am astounded at how the Lord loved mankind to such an extent that he would be intricately involved in the world to bring about his will for the salvation of those who would become his followers. We are virtually blind to the spiritual world, but from the Word of God we know that there is activity going on that we can't see with our natural eyes. Because we can't see such activity doesn't mean it isn't taking place. It just means we can't see it. From what we know through Scripture, God's activity goes way beyond what is even written. In the last verse of the Gospel of John, the Apostle stated, "Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written." I have said all this to present the thought that even as God was mysteriously working in human history to bring about Christ's birth and eventual crucifixion, so he has been working for our salvation individually. Time and chance has had nothing to do with our coming to Christ, but the purposeful effort of God working in our personal history to bring us to the foot of the cross. At no time did he force us or our family members of days gone by to do what they did, yet he was working all the time to bring us to salvation. If we could only see the activity of God in our lives, then we would see his fingerprints all over our personal history, leading all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's an astounding idea. I don't know how God does it. Angels don't even know. But I'm so very glad that God is at work in this world to bring about the salvation of those who want to be saved. The world can look like it's utter chaos, and that's because it is. Yet God is working in the chaos to bring order, just like he did in creation. Everything in human history is moving towards the consummation of all things, and this too will happen at just the right time. Jesus will not be late or early for a second coming. He will be right on time. When you look at the history of mankind through Scripture and then look at secular historians, you will see God moving our history along to his desired end. Rather than a dictator, we could think of God's activity in this world as a shepherd who is shepherding mankind to the exact place where Jesus could be born of a virgin and later crucified. Everything was put in place at the proper time so that the newborn church could quickly spread throughout the Roman world. I really like the picture of Jesus being the good shepherd. Most often we think of him managing a few sheep, but the truth is that he is simultaneously shepherding all of creation, the stars of heaven, angelic hosts, the history of mankind, and even our own personal lives. The Lord is busy shepherding his creation, and through it all, he was busy moving us to the exact place where we could see our need of a Savior. He forces no one to be saved or to be damned. Yet for those who want his salvation, he is moving them to the right place at just the right time so that we could know the love of Christ and the power of his atoning sacrifice. I have heard people say time and again that they wish they would have come to Christ sooner, and I don't doubt the sincerity of their statement. Yet it was at just the right time, when they were finally ready to be reaped by the great harvester, that he brought us to salvation. In spite of this, many people have rejected the work of God in leading them to salvation. This is never God's fault or some lack of his ability to save. The problem always lies with us and the decisions we make. Many have fought against the Lord's work in their life, delaying the salvation he was laboring to give them, and they suffered for it. Yet God was working through it all, even using our sin and rebellion to bring us to Christ. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "In the time of my favor I heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Paul is partially quoting Isaiah 49, verse 8. Today is a day of salvation. What is the day that he's talking about? It is the day we finally heard the gospel message and the call to repent and turn to the Lord. Prior to that time, the Lord was laboring to bring us to the right place at just the right time where we could finally hear his voice and see our need. He was shepherding us to bring us to himself. We are naturally stubborn and rebellious people, so the Lord must do a work in our lives by using the things that happen in our lives. He must bring us to the place of brokenness where we will finally see our great need and then bow our will to his rule over us. Some people come to this point in their teen years, while others come to this place just before they die. Yet the Lord is laboring in both cases and in everything in between to bring us to the right place at the right time so that we could be transformed by the power of God. When you look at Jesus and see that when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, we need to see that this truth applies to us as well. At just the right time, Jesus came to you and me so that we could obtain true salvation. Yet even when we were still powerless to change for eternal good because of our sin, Christ died for us and led us to salvation. None of us are a product of time and chance, nor are we a product of a divine plan where we have no say over our salvation, where we are mere puppets. The Lord has relentlessly pursued you and I to bring us to himself. Now, as Christians, he is pursuing us to bring us nearer to himself, where we will find peace, joy, and victory in Christ. During this day we have set apart to celebrate Christ's birth, we need to take time to see his activity in our lives and to be thankful for what we can see and even for what we cannot. His love surpasses human understanding, and his ability and power is infinite. Though you may feel alone, you are not alone. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and you will see him moving towards you with arms outstretched, calling you by name to run into his arms. If you are not a true follower of Jesus, then today is the day of your salvation. Now is the appointed time. Don't run from him, but run to him, and his peace that passes human understanding will fill your heart, mind, and soul. Have a blessed Christmas. Thank you for listening to The Radical Truth with your host, Glenn Meldrum. We at In His Presence Ministries pray that this weekly podcast will be a blessing to you. Please tell others about it and subscribe yourself to this free podcast. Don't forget to visit our website at www.ihpministry.com. See you again next time, and may God richly bless you as you seek him in spirit and in truth.
Thirst no more, so come wash in the river, come drink your fill, let healing waters bear away your guilt, lay down your burdens on that beautiful shore, come wash in the river, come be reborn.